are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Today, we have a special guest on the podcast, Dylan Jackson, who is my co-site expert, co-editor over at dunkingwithwolves.com, the fan-sided Timberwolves fan site, as well as one of the hosts of the Breaking Brackets podcast. He knows his stuff when it comes to college basketball and the Timberwolves. But first, as always, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. All right, we're going to head right into our conversation with Dylan. He's up next. All right, as promised, today we have Dylan Jackson with us on the Locked On Wolves podcast. Dylan is actually my co-expert over at the fan-sided blog, Dunking with Wolves. He helps me co-edit the site. How's it going, Dylan?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today, Ben?
Doing pretty good. Dylan also does a podcast called Bracket Breakers, talking about college basketball, NBA draft, all those things. He's spent a lot more time thinking about this draft prior to now than I have. So I would consider him more of an expert than me at this stage in the game. I really kind of plugged in the last few weeks here, started diving in. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the big board that we've been going through here at Locked On Wolves, basically my top 13 that we've gone through so far. Again, first edition of the big board, and it will change. But I want to get Dylan's thoughts on where we're at so far. So we'll do the first six in this segment, and then we'll move on and do the next seven. Just get his thoughts on my big board, and if there's anybody that I am grossly overrating or underrating, I want to get Dylan's thoughts on that and have a little bit of a conversation there. So without further ado, going to go ahead and read off the top six of my big board. If you've been listening along, go back, or if you haven't been listening along, go back and listen to the full explanations for each of these picks. I spent a few minutes on each player on the big board already, but today I'm just going to read the names off, and then we're going to talk about names that stand out to Dylan and to myself. So first on my big board right now, and remember, this is the Timberwolves big board. If I was drafting for the Timberwolves, not necessarily generic team, you know, A, B, or C, this is the Timberwolves. So at number one on my big board, I have Killian Hayes. Number two, Anthony Edwards, the wing from Georgia. Number three, Obi Toppin. Number four, Tyrese Halliburton. Number five, Devin Vassell from Florida State. Number six, LaMelo Ball. And what are your initial thoughts on my top six, Dylan?
So for the Timberwolves specifically, Killian Hayes reminds me a lot of D'Angelo Russell specifically.
Yep.
I think that, you know, he does a lot with his left hand. I think he's a really good scorer. He's got a lot more defensive upside and will bring a lot more to the backcourt than D'Angelo Russell does on that end of the floor specifically. But I do like the fit between he and Russell. I think that, honestly, the Wolves could end up getting a point guard if they end up with a first overall pick, whether it be, you know, LaMelo Ball, who's probably the favorite at this point, or Killian Hayes, who's probably in that more, you know, 6 to 8 sort of range. Although I guess, you know, the media and everybody seems to be a lot higher on him than NBA teams are. Anthony Edwards, I am just a little bit concerned about how much he's going to affect winning.
Yeah.
To me, he seems kind of like a Terry Rozier kind of guy, you know.
Okay.
Like, he'll put up the stats, he'll put up, you know, decent efficiency numbers, but how much is he really going to affect you, like in win shares and all that advanced sort of stuff? I do like him as a player, though. I think he's definitely a top five player in this class. And if you do want to score, he's definitely your guy.
Yeah. So real quick on those first two, just a couple quick thoughts that I had. So Hayes, do you think that he is good enough as a defender that he could play alongside D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, I think Killian Hayes and D'Angelo Russell can absolutely play together. I think that Killian Hayes is a kind of a two-way guard that can facilitate more than he can score. His feel for the game is phenomenal. He's a really good passer. His assist to turnover ratio is about 4 to 1, something in that sort of range. But I think that, you know, if you want a pure facilitator that can unlock D'Angelo Russell's ability to score at all three levels even more, I think he's the perfect kind of point guard to do that. I really do believe in his two-way ability, and I think that he would absolutely be able to play with Russell on the floor.
Okay. And jumping around a little bit, but you mentioned Ball potentially being number one. Do in terms of a, you know, a mock draft where he'd be mock number one right now, if you were the Timberwolves and you had the number one pick, would you take LaMelo Ball?
I would take LaMelo Ball. Yes.
Okay.
I think that his, I think his floor is just so much higher than pretty much any other player in this draft class, just because he's a 6'8" point guard that can already, I mean, he can shoot and he can pass, and really that's kind of what you want from your point guards now. I've got some concerns about his defense because honestly, it's just not very good right now. He could really use some work on that end of the floor. But I mean, when you've got a 6'8" point guard that's got his vision, I think it's just, it's a recipe to be really, really good.
So do you think if the Wolves took Ball number one, do you think he primarily starts out playing behind Russell and just playing, you know, 12, 16 minutes a game as a backup? Or do you think they play him and Russell together in the backcourt and play D'Lo off the ball more often?
So I think no matter what, he is going to end up being a starting level point guard, just because of his, I mean, he's just an incredible passer. So I think that he could start out, you know, at the one playing alongside D'Angelo Russell as a rookie. I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case.
Yeah. Okay. And then you mentioned Anthony Edwards and your concerns. I have some of the same concerns at the moment. I just had him number two because I do think that there's some really strong defensive upside there that we haven't really seen yet. And the Wolves need more athletic wings. They need guys who can defend as well. But so you mentioned Terry Rozier, and if I'm not mistaken, you have been a Charlotte fan. Is that correct? So you've got a little bit,
sadly.
Yes. So I am, of course, a Timberwolves fan. And so my immediate reaction when I see Anthony Edwards as a prospect is Andrew Wiggins. And I have flashbacks, concerns about, I know Wiggins was the consensus number one overall when he was coming out of Kansas, but there's a ton of similarities between the two as prospects in terms of what they're good at, what they're not good at, what some of the concerns are. It's always a, hey, he's athletic and his shot looks good, but he doesn't always play super hard and he's not consistent defensively. And even though his shot looks good, it doesn't go in consistently. So I still have him number two at the moment, just because I think if the Wolves were drafting second and say they have Ball number one on their board, they might go with a guy like Edwards, or they may try and, you know, draft him and trade him later or something like that. But I tend to agree. I don't know that he's going to land number two on my final board. But he's the one guy that I think is alongside Ball that's consistently mocked in the top two or three, just in terms of upside.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to talk about Obi Toppin a little bit because I think you're pretty high on him. You got him at number three. I'm not that high on him. I've still got him top 10. I do have a lot of defensive concerns because honestly, he's just not very good on that end of the floor.
Sure.
Offensively, though, he reminds me a lot of PJ Washington and what he can do. You know, he can stretch the floor, has a really good post game. That like turnaround hook in the post is just really, really good for Toppin. Mm-hmm. He has potential to be a unicorn type of player. Although I do think that if he's not a star, I'm not quite sure what kind of role he fills. You know, I think he might end up being like a bench sort of big that just comes off and almost like Aaron Baines, if that makes a little bit of sense.
Sure, but, yeah. Yeah, I get those concerns with Obi Toppin. I think for me, just frankly, I'm so excited about what the upside of him and Towns could be offensively, where the Wolves could interchangeably put one of those guys down low and play four out, or they could play five out, or they could do any number of sets where they're you know, coming out of screen and rolls where one of the guys is popping and one is rolling. I think Toppin could be a, you know, he already is a good outside shooter, but having two big men who can shoot from the outside, who are athletic enough to score inside, who can run the floor, is so exciting. And I don't know. I feel like at this point, especially if the Wolves end up keeping Malik Beasley in restricted free agency, you already have your three best players that are bad defensively. And I guess at this point, you're kind of going all in on it and you're saying, we're just going to score 140, 150 points every game. And I think that that's an exciting thought. Obviously, you know, there's those defensive concerns, but all those players are young. And if David Vanterpool and Ryan Saunders and the coaching staff can figure this out defensively, that offense could be easily a top 10 offense this year if you add a couple shooters on the perimeter too. But that's my top and pick at three. But I do realize that's a lot higher than what a lot of teams or a lot of you know, mock drafts and stuff have them. What are your thoughts on Haliburton and Vassell?
Yeah, so I love both of these players from a team building perspective. They are both very high IQ players. Both can play defense off ball and on ball. Very switchable. I think that Haliburton is probably more of a two guard than a natural point guard at the NBA level. And I say that because I think he best plays off of, you know, a guy that would already, you know, be established in the NBA. Like, I think his top landing spots would be, you know, either Minnesota or Atlanta, because you've already got, you know, a guy that can score in either Trae Young or D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you allow that player to take on even more of an offensive role, because Halliburton is just so good defensively. So I think he brings a lot of shooting upside. I think he shot over 40% at Iowa State, and he was a really good facilitator as well. So I think that he's just a very versatile player. In terms of Devin Vassell, you know, a lot of people just kind of throw him out there as a 3-and-D player, but I think he does a lot of creating his own shot as well, just off the dribble and getting to the rim and that sort of thing. And he's just very, very sound defensively, probably going to be able to play and maybe start for any team immediately. I think he could be one of those guys that gets playoff minutes in his rookie year if he lands on like Golden State or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think both of those guys have, I could flop them, you know, either way, 4 and 5 on my board. I think the, Halliburton's got a little bit more offensive upside in terms of the amount of things he can do. But he's maybe not quite as, I mean, he's a good shooter, but he might not be quite as good from day one. But I think either of those guys would fit on the Wolves, and that they could come off the bench and be a, you know, play the two guard off the bench, or they could play a secondary, you know, playmaker role next to either Jordan McLaughlin or whoever the backup point guard is, and also with D'Angelo Russell. So I think that's attractive. We already talked a little bit about Ball. So if you were looking at your big board, what would your top few look like?
So I am a firm believer in the best player available strategy. Unless this is a very big stipulation, unless you're already loaded at a certain position. And I say that because, do you remember when the Sacramento Kings took a center with the 7th overall pick when they already had DeMarcus Cousins?
I do. Yeah, that was the Willie Cauley-Stein year, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. And I mean, it's just, you know, you just can't do that, you know? So I don't think you take, you know, a pure center this year, even though, I mean, I have one in my top three, and he's probably more of a power forward than a center at the NBA level. But my number one is LaMelo Ball. I'm just a huge believer in his floor and his ceiling. You know, if his shooting and shot selection and defense come around, which I believe they will, I've got Onyeka Okongwu at number two. And I think that his defensive floor is just so, so good. I think he can play almost against any position from day one, just a really special defender, really good rim protector, that sort of thing. And then I've got Killian Hayes at number three, who's your first overall player. I'm a firm believer that he will translate to the NBA level. Just from day one, I think he will be a very good passer. The shooting will come around. He's very fluid. Just a very solid basketball player.
Okay, perfect. So in a second here, I want to get back into Okongwu, because I have him in my next tier of players, I guess, and I'd really like to have him a little higher. So I want to hear your reasoning for putting him that high here in just a second. We'll be right back. We'll get back into really numbers 7 through 13 on my board and get Dylan's thoughts on each of those players and where I have them ranked. Before we do that, I wanted to mention our I Will campaign here at the Locked On Network once again. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Let's also talk about our title sponsor for today's podcast, rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores often have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like an airline does. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, so we've already talked about the top six players on my Timberwolves big board, and we're here with Dylan Jackson, my co-editor with Dunking with Wolves, and he's given us his take on my current Timberwolves big board. And he just went through his top few players on his big board, and he's got Onyeka Okongwu. You said you had him second or third?
I've got him second, but you know, I was thinking about changing him with Killian Hayes, but I'm just going to hold off for right now.
Okay. I like it. I like, nobody's really saying having him that high. So I like you sticking with that one. So I've got Isaac Okoro at number 7 on my big board. I have Onyeka Okongwu, the big man from USC, at number 8. I've got Kyra Lewis Jr. from Alabama, number 9. Number 10 is Sadiq Bey out of Villanova. And then number 11, Aaron Nesmith. Is it Nesmith? Am I saying that right?
Nesmith.
From Vanderbilt, Tyrese Maxey at number 12 from Kentucky, and then Denis Avdija from Maccabi Tel Aviv at number 13. So kind of going down the list, I guess. Let's talk about Okoro first, and then we'll get into Okongwu. So Isaac Okoro, I have him at number 7. And my primary reason for that is because of the edge for him over some of the other wings that I have on my list is his size. And he's a smart player. He's strong on both ends of the floor. There's some similarities in my mind. The comp that jumped to my mind when I watched a little bit of film on him and also reading through his strengths and weaknesses was Luke Mbamute, who of course had a brief run with the Timberwolves. I think if he develops offensively, he could be a Jeremy Grant type player, which is, you know, a big three, smaller four who can guard multiple positions is pretty much exactly what the Timberwolves need. What's your take on Okoro?
So I'm a little bit higher on Isaac Okoro than most people, at least his ceiling. I had Okoro as my first overall player for about 2 months. But I'm a firm believer in his defense translating. I think he's a phenomenal perimeter defender. I think if his shooting comes around, he has potential to be one of the best players in this draft class. That's the one thing with him is that he's not a plus shooter. He's really good at pretty much everything else, though. He's a really good half-court playmaker. I think that he could take over, you know, playmaking duties in short stints. I'm not sure if he'll ever be a primary guy. I think that he's good at getting to the rim as well. So he's just a very versatile player. I think that if he is able to create his own shot in the post and eventually stretch his game out to the three-point line, I think he could be very, very dangerous. Big thing for me is he consistently performed in the clutch for Auburn when they needed him to. He was just very incredible. He hit many, many game-winning shots for them in his 1 year at Auburn. I think he was just... he's a very, very good player overall, just complete, just needs that shot to come around, and he'll be a very good NBA player.
Okay. Yeah, you're a little higher on his offense than me. I'm a little nervous about him being able to do much, you know, with off the dribble in the NBA, whether it be scoring or creating, but I think immediately he can step in and be a strong defender and a decent rebounder and do all those things. But because of his size and his wingspan, I think he has the ability to, if he can figure out how to add a little bit of range to his shot or really, you know, find a little bit of a jump shot period, then I think he could certainly be a small ball four type player who can guard, you know, threes and switch on to twos and be a valuable player. So I really like him. If the Wolves end up falling to, you know, 5 or 6 in the draft lottery, I think he's a guy who could be there that would fit them really well. Onyeka Okongwu, you have him number 2 in your board. My thoughts on him are basically he's a really good defender. He's switchable. He has good touch, whether it be scoring in the paint or passing the ball on the perimeter out of the post. I just don't think he's a great fit with the Timberwolves. I'm worried about what he could do, you know, playing alongside Towns if that fit works. And I'd worried that he would end up backing up Towns more than anything. What say you, and why do you like Okongwu so much?
So I think with the Timberwolves in particular, I think he actually is a good fit. I think that what you need to look for with Karl-Anthony Towns is, first and foremost, you need an elite rim protector. And I think that Onyeka Okongwu is definitely that. He's probably the best rim protector in college basketball this past season, at least in terms of effectiveness, maybe not in terms of, you know, blocks. But he was incredible down the stretch. He could switch on to pretty much anybody 3 through 5. He's just really, really solid on that end of the floor. For centers or power forwards, I tend to look for replaceability. And that means that can what this player does be replaced by another guy coming off the bench? And Onyeka Okongwu, that's not really the case, because he's just such an elite defender, especially in the paint, to where if you take him off the floor, you're really going to miss him in the game. And I think that, you know, with the Timberwolves, with Karl-Anthony Towns, that's just such a valuable asset to bring. And I think that he does do enough offensively to where he can have a role on that end of the floor. He may not be an elite shooter quite yet, but I do think he'll at least be league average in the peak of his career. I also think that he's mobile enough to where he can be a screen setter. I think he can get to the rim, just be a nice roll man, that sort of thing. I'm really high on him as just a player in general. Very, very good.
Yeah. Okay. So the way that I talked about him in a couple of podcasts, a couple episodes ago, was I think there's some similarities to what Taj Gibson did for the Wolves. And obviously the year Taj Gibson, well, the first year he was on the Timberwolves, they went to the playoffs. Of course, they also had Jimmy Butler, but Taj had the best year of his career. He actually had, really shooting percentage wise, you know, he was mostly just shooting, you know, fadeaways, little jump hooks. And the Wolves, of course, were running a very different offense under Tom Thibodeau than they are currently under Ryan Saunders. So it worked to an extent. There were still some spacing issues, and part of that was they didn't have very many other good shooters on the floor either at the time. It was basically Jimmy Butler and Towns, and that was basically, Teague was an unwilling shooter, and they just didn't have much, and so there wasn't much spacing. And so maybe, I guess this could work in terms of you've only got one of your five guys who doesn't have three-point range. My concern is the Wolves are trying so hard to play fast and to play five out and all this stuff that there just wouldn't be enough space offensively. But I guess the counterpoint to that could be, you know, Towns is so versatile. He can handle the ball in the offense. He started doing that more last year. He can play in the post. He can play outside. And so in effect on offense, you could almost treat Okongwu like he's your center. I guess that's basically what he would be on defense too. He's a little bit undersized to guard some fives, but it's not like that many teams have these big 7-foot centers with their back to the basket anymore either.
Yeah, I think even so, I think he'll be able to guard most fives, if not all of them. I think just he's such an elite. He's very, very athletic for his size, just very good mobility. He can jump out of the gym. Just overall, I think that he's going to be able to hang in there with most guys.
Okay. I like it. I like the case for him. I think he could be, at the very least, from day one, he could be a swing big for the Timberwolves, where if, say, they retain a guy like Juancho Hernan Gomez or bring somebody else in, a veteran that could start at the four, and then Okongwu backs up Towns, plays some minutes next to Towns, and they kind of work him in that way. I think that could work. Like I said, if he's on the board at six, I take a hard look at him, depending on how the rest of the board has fallen. And if the Wolves were to trade back, you know, say they land second or third or something, and for whatever reason trade back and pick up an asset, he's a guy who, if he's there, you'd have to consider taking him, because, like you said, he's fairly well-rounded and is going to be a good professional. It's just a matter of the situation he's in and the way that he fits the roster he ends up on. Hey, before we get to the rest of the big board, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I've talked a lot about Built Bar on this podcast. The top three on my big board for Built Bar flavors are the chocolate mint brownie, the chocolate almond toffee, and the chocolate almond coconut. They taste fantastic. It's a protein bar that tastes exactly like a candy bar. 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors. I just named 2 of those. And 8 chocolate nut free flavors. That includes the mint brownie. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew. Built Bar is perfect for the health-conscious guy or gal. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are all low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. The flavor profile on the aforementioned mint brownie flavor, 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Next for me, I had Kyra Lewis, and I have Sadiq Bey at 10. I think I have those guys a little bit higher than they have been in a few mocks that I've seen. What are your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, so I've got both of these guys in sort of that 15 to 17 sort of range. Kyra Lewis is just a really, really fast guard that, you know, if he learns to drive and kick a little bit better, I think he could be very, very good. His shooting numbers, I think, are very promising as well. I think he could probably be a 35 to 37% three-point shooter at the NBA level, that's, you want that from a guy. In terms of his fit with D'Angelo Russell, I'm not too convinced he'll be a high-level defender, although I think he'll at least be league average. I'm kind of bullish on Kyra Lewis compared to most people. Sadiq Bey, very good 3-and-D prospect. I think that he would be an excellent fit with the Minnesota Timberwolves, especially if you're taking a look at that number 16 overall pick. Just a very versatile 4 that can shoot very, very well. There are some concerns about what his role is going to be defensively, but if he can at least guard, you know, the small forward or power forward position, he's going to be a good NBA player. He's definitely at least going to have a role on the bench for any team he's drafted onto. And I say that with a lot of confidence just because that shooting, and I think his defensive floor is high enough to where, you know, a team can just take him and they can just place him in their rotation immediately.
Yeah. And I mean, we're definitely into basically what I would call trade back territory for the Timberwolves this year, where these guys are all going to be on the board early, but you're not going to take them with the top 5 pick. And so these are the guys that you're looking at. If they fall to the Wolves mid first round pick, which right now is 16, it could get as high as 15. They likely will keep it depending on how things go with Brooklyn. So you're looking at, could these guys fall to one of those picks? Would the Wolves take them if they're there, or would they be trade back candidates? I mean, Lewis, for me, I agree. He's not going to play next to Russell. I think you'd basically be drafting him as a backup, which you don't want to do in the top 10, but that's also a function of this draft being a little bit not quite as deep. You're looking at guys right around that 10 to 15 range where, and really traditionally, if you find a guy who's a surefire role player rotation guy and you pick him with a first round pick, even if it's mid first round, you feel good about that draft pick, because that means they weren't a bust and you found a guy that fit a role. The Wolves aren't exactly, as you said, in the position to be drafting for roles because they, you know, had like a 30% winning percentage this year. So obviously they need to find the best players available. However, if they end up in a situation where they're going to have this pick, they need to use it. One of these guys is on the board, you know, mid first round, or if they trade back, I think Lewis could be a really good backup point guard immediately in the NBA. I think he's a good defender, a good on ball defender, but he's probably not going to be able to play much in the way of the two just because of his size. And Sadiq Bey, same thing. I think he's a 3-and-D guy, like you said, and probably not much else immediately. I think best case is like a Damari Carroll type where he can play a couple positions and, maybe guard the opposing team's best or second best perimeter player and shoot 40% from three. So I think both those guys are good fits if the Wolves do end up trading back or if one of them falls. So to round out my top 13, I have, say, Aaron Nesmith-Stamigan. Is that right, Nesmith?
Yes, that's correct.
Perfect. Aaron Nesmith, Tyrese Maxey, Denis Avdija. Somehow I have that one down, but I can never remember Nesmith. So what are your thoughts on my, I guess, rounding out my really arbitrary top 13?
Yeah, so I am a big fan of Aaron Nesmith. I think that his shooting is unparalleled to anybody we've seen. And I say that a little bit lightly because he did only play 13 games this past year. But the way at which he was able to come off screens and just score as like an off-ball type role player, it kind of reminded me of Klay Thompson a little bit. And I say that, I'm not saying that Aaron Nesmith is going to be Klay Thompson, but I am saying that he brings that sort of IQ. I think that, you know, he can create for himself off the dribble just a little bit. He's just a very elite shooter. He shot above 50% from the three-point line, and it's not like that's a small achievement either because he was taking like a ridiculous amount of threes per game. Like, I believe he was averaging over eight three-point attempts per game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's insane. And I think he's definitely going to at least be a role player in the NBA just because of that shooting. There's going to be too many teams that look at that and say, you know what, we're just going to keep him on our roster, if you know what I mean. I think he's just, you know, he just reminds me so much of Klay Thompson, the way he was utilized off ball at Vanderbilt. He's just, I'm high on him. He's in my top 10. Tyrese Maxey, I know a ton of people that have Tyrese Maxey in their top 5 players. And I think that he's a very good two-way sort of guy, good playmaker, really high work ethic, elite defender. I think that if his shooting comes around and there were a little bit of concerns about him at Kentucky this year, and his form was pretty good too, I think that he could be a steal for where he's taken. You know, he's currently mocked in that 14 to 16 kind of range. And I think that if he is taken there, I think he'll absolutely outperform that draft selection. I think that he, you know, if you put him next to D'Angelo Russell, he might be able to start, maybe not day one, but, you know, midway through the season, if he's inserted into the starting lineup, it would not shock me at all. Danny Avdija, I'm a little bit lower on him than most people. I think you've got him right about correct here with 13. You know, he's just a versatile guy who can kind of create for himself off the dribble, a good transition playmaker, versatile defender, just a very complimentary basketball player. I'm a little bit concerned about the shooting and free throw splits. He did just have a game, I believe yesterday, where he, I think, scored like 20 some points and was like 2 for 3 from the 3-point line, stuff like that. I'm not fully buying into it quite yet, but it did catch my eye just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really this. I actually didn't really like putting him this high either. I just think thinking of this through the lens of the Timberwolves, if somehow he's there and the Wolves are drafting at like 15, you know, he would fit a need for the Wolves in that he could step in and be a, you know, ideally he's a talented power forward who could play next to Towns and provide some size, even though he's not big. He's tall and he's long. But yeah, I mean, the idea of him is a lot better than the actual production, I think, that we've seen. And so in the mid-teens, yeah, you take a gamble on a guy like that. I mean, I'm not saying he at all looks like Giannis did when Giannis was a draft prospect, but remember, Giannis went like 13th. And there were some of the same question marks related to shooting, which is, you know, jump shooting is still an issue for Giannis, and related at least streakiness when it comes to Avdija, and also, you know, his strength and could he withstand the rigors of the NBA type of a thing. So I by no means am saying he will be Giannis, but I think if he's there in the mid-teens, you know, he's a guy that they would have to look at. But again, at that point, you're talking about guys who you can either plug and play as role players, or maybe some guys you swing for the fences. I think it's pretty unlikely the Wolves draft. They have probably 3 picks in the top 33 in this draft. I don't think they're going to keep all 3 of them. Most teams don't want to keep 3 rookies on their active roster. And the Timberwolves, with 2 guys who are all-stars at the age of 23 on the roster, even though they would admit that the roster's not set, they're trying to make the playoffs next year and they need to show some progress, and they're not going to draft 3 rookies and stick them on the roster. So I think one of those gets moved. Maybe they package a couple picks for a player. Maybe they, you know, sell one, you know, for next year or something. I don't know. But if they're there in the mid-teens, I think all of those guys are good for various reasons.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Cole Anthony was not on your big board, because I think that he has potential to be an elite point guard. He may not be the best fit with what the Timberwolves necessarily want, but he does bring, you know, elite level athleticism and shooting. So just got to point out that I think that he would be, you know, may not be the best fit, but I think he would be a good, you know, value pick if he's somehow there at like 16.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think I actually had him. He was on my next list of guys to take a look at. So he's probably going to end up 14 or 15 for me, because that is a name you're going to, I mean, he's in the top 15 in virtually every mock draft you look at. So, yeah, I mean, it is interesting. You've really only got a few guys who are consensus top 3 or 4 picks. And then after that, it's just, do you want a guy who's going to plug and play and probably not be much more than a role player? Or do you want to swing for the fences? And it's like that in every draft, but it feels like in this draft, it drops off a lot quicker and you've got a lot more guys that can do several things decently well instead of like one really great thing. And to your point with LaMelo Ball, I mean, coming all the way back around to you having him number one, he's got a really high floor. Like you said, I mean, he has the one skill that is, I think I wrote about this just the other day for Dunking with Wolves, that he's got the one skill that clearly is elite level now, which is the floor awareness, you know, the ability to pass with both hands at any point in time, see things happen before they actually happen type of a thing. And there aren't very many guys in this draft that have that one skill that you point to and say, oh, that's nearly all-star level already. And so I think that's what makes him stand out. We didn't talk about James Wiseman. That's the last name I want to mention. I think he's certainly a top 10 talent in this draft. He's going to have to be in the next few picks on my big board just because I mean, he's not going to be there at number 15, but if he were, you'd have to take him. And I don't think he could play next to Towns. You don't want to take a high pick on a guy who's going to sit behind Towns. So I don't think the Wolves end up with him no matter how you slice it, but that's also a name that we haven't talked about, and he'll certainly go top 10.
I actually am not very high on Wiseman. I've got him in my late teens.
Okay.
I think that he's got an incredible frame, just 7'1", 7 foot plus wingspan, along with like weighing 230 pounds already. That's incredible. That said, I think that the way he utilizes that frame in his rim protection, it's not really the best. And I am saying that on limited film because he only played 3 games at the college level.
Yeah.
I watched his one game against a Power 5 opponent in Oregon, and he got into just foul trouble. And I'm not saying that he's going to get into foul trouble a lot at the NBA level, but it is concerning to see that in the one game that he, you know, played. I think that if he's able to at least extend his range to be, you know, at least good at the mid-range level jump shooting, I think he could be a fine offensive player. But if he's just, you know, a post guy, then I think he could take more possessions than you would want him to. I think that it's not a good fit in Minnesota. And I think that for Wiseman to be more than a stat sheet kind of guy, I think he's got to land in an environment like Golden State. And I think that with great coaching, I think he could be a very good player. That said, I'm just not sure his ceiling is as high as people make it out to be, but it is certainly promising.
Okay. Interesting. Well, this is fun. I think what I'd like to do is we'll come back to this here in a few weeks once we know maybe a little bit more, I guess, even though we also know that the draft won't happen until October. But, and then certainly once the draft lottery happens, it sounds like mid-August, we'll get back together. We'll talk through where the Wolves are in the draft lottery, where they land, and who we think that they will take at that pick, and maybe do a little bit of a mock draft. So any final thoughts? Anything you want to promote, Dylan?
I just want to say that, I mean, the draft is like, you know, 3-4 months away right now, which is just insane. Yeah. It would have been happening like this past week, which is just crazy to think about. But, you know, just don't overthink draft prospects. You know, don't watch too much film, because when people start watching too much film, they start overthinking stuff, and that's just not a good combination.
Yeah. I saw something, it might have even been today. I think it was The Athletic, maybe John Krasinski was talking about how teams have kind of backed off their draft prep. Oh no, it was a different article on The Athletic. It wasn't him. But basically teams have backed off draft prep. They were going so hard at it in May thinking this is still going to happen. And then they backed off, and then now they've got to be somewhere in the middle, because you can't just not do it, but you've still got 4 months. So it's basically like February minus, you're not going to have March Madness. You're not going to have the end of the college season. And so you just don't have all the information. They still don't know about draft combine. It looks like maybe September. So we're going to be talking about this for 4 months. And I mean, like you said, we're definitely going to analyze it every which way, and definitely, you know, I guess at some point beat a dead horse here, but At any rate, it's fun to talk about now. It's fun to get excited about it a few months in advance. So thanks for joining me, Dylan. Dylan can be found on Twitter at NBA Draft Dylan. He can also be found at Dunking with Wolves, of course, the blog that I also write and edit for. Thanks for joining me, Dylan.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. That's all we have for today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. And of course, thank you to Dylan Jackson for joining me. Go check out all his stuff. Follow him on Twitter, and head on over to Dunking with Wolves and read our content related to the draft over there. We'll be back on Friday with another 3 players in the NBA draft big board. We are now getting into the territory where the Timberwolves will be drafting, provided they don't make any trades. They will have that 15, 16 ish draft pick. And so on Friday, we'll talk numbers 14, 15, and 16 on my big board. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves. That's at Locked On T Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. A final special thanks to our friends at rockauto.com for bringing us today's episode. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.